Suzanne has worked in public health for over 15 years and in obesity prevention specifically for 8 years. And as the Healthy Communities Program Coordinator for the Vermont Department of Health, she provides support to communities to increase access to healthy foods and places to be physically active. Suzanne has managed Vermont's cancer and cardiovascular disease screening programs and has worked as a public health specialist for Vermont's tobacco prevention and control program. So she's worked across a wide area, and it's exciting to see that you're now in obesity and physical activity. So please join me in welcoming Suzanne Kelly. And she will be speaking to us about creating access to physical activity in rural communities.
All right, thanks. Okay, so it's actually nice for me to have heard these other presentations because I am not going to be presenting any research exactly, but more of program implementation, I would say. I tend to talk really fast, but I limited my caffeine today, so hopefully that will slow me down, but we'll see. Should be 20 minutes, it might be 5, we'll just see where we go here, but I could say a lot. Okay, so I have no relationships to disclose. What I want to talk about today is how to establish sustainable ways to increase access to physical activity and healthy food in high-need rural communities, and how to engage key leaders in rural communities to support health efforts. I think the nice thing about this is that it really ties together some of the things that we heard about earlier about how to really support strong coalitions and how to build really useful relationships and partnerships to get work done. So I wanted to start by talking a little bit about Vermont. I feel like my slides are so different, they're just visual. Vermont is not a city in Canada, which I am sometimes asked. It is its own state, but it does border Canada. We only have a population of about 625,000 people in the whole state. Our biggest city is Burlington, which is about 60,000 people or so. So, you know, I think the population of Boston is 600,000. So the other thing to know about Vermont is that we are predominantly a white population. It's about 98 or 96% white, so very small percentage of minority populations. Our disparities are really looked at in terms of low income and rural populations when we're looking at disparities in high need populations. The other thing about Vermont is that we're often seen as, or we're touted as, one of the healthiest states in the nation. We have a pretty healthy population, but you know, the way we think about it in terms of obesity is we really are maybe the best among the worst. We still have about 60% of our population that's overweight or obese. Again, the lower income rural communities is where you see some of the highest rates of obesity. And even though we have lots of opportunities, it would seem, for it to be physically active, you know, there's lots of open space and parks and opportunities for recreation, being such a rural state, there's very little public transportation. People have to drive everywhere. People have to drive long distances. There's not a whole lot of grocery stores in the state. And I do work sometimes with the Vermont Grocers Association, and we've talked about, can we get grocery stores in some of the more rural areas? And the response is usually, we don't think another grocery store can be supported in those areas because there's just not the population for that. So we definitely have our challenges in our little state in the Northeast here. Okay, so my job as a Healthy Communities Coordinator is to work with communities to increase access to places to be physically active and access healthy food. And so one of the things that we decided to do a few years ago was to look at how can we shift our work from the individual behavior change programming that a lot of coalitions and groups were used to doing to more of this environmental and policy level changes within our communities. What we needed to do and some of the challenges that we were considering at the time, we're really needing to overcome this Vermont is unique, we do things differently here perspective, and to some degree that's true. It is unique in terms of its being very small and rural. We really want to capitalize on some of the established relationships that we already had with other state agencies, so really not wanting to do something just from the health department, but looking at what other agencies are already doing some work that we were interested in. We also needed to equip our coalitions and the health professionals with some of the knowledge, skills, and abilities to be able to feel comfortable working with towns on some of these issues, this new sort of perspective. And we wanted to direct our efforts to some of our highest need rural communities. So we undertook this 5-step process, and I was going to go through each of these steps in a little bit more detail. So first we developed a resource. There are tons of resources out there that look at healthy community design and policy and systems and environmental change, how to increase bikeability and walkability. But we really felt like we needed to develop our own for those reasons of Vermont is unique, and so if we brought the California toolkit into Vermont, that would immediately shut people down. So we worked with some of our state partners to also look at what efforts were already underway, what did we think was really doable in Vermont when you consider the, 800 possible things that communities could do to address obesity prevention. How could we really narrow that down into something that was going to be manageable and doable in Vermont and sustainable? What we ended up doing was identifying four focus areas that we really wanted to be working on and having our coalitions work on. The first was increasing compact mixed-use development. The second was increasing bicycle and pedestrian infrastructure and all the things that go along with that. The third one is increasing access to parks, recreation, and open space. And the fourth one is increasing access to healthy food. So our resource, this is the table of contents. It's a little bit hard to see, but really what this is a guide that's very broad in scope and can apply to a broad population. So the first few chapters were really meant for people who know nothing about this. So thinking about a citizen in a town who's just like, you know, I really want a crossing to be safe in my town so kids could walk to school. I don't even know where to start. So there's a few sections on just like how does Vermont's land use stuff work? Who's who in state government? Things around just the basic public health processes of how to assess, build capacity, plan, and implement. So that appeals to maybe the people who are starting out more or who are really new to this field. And then we go into some action strategies and a toolkit that has a lot of hands-on, ready to do it, here's how you do it, and here's what to do. The toolkit was actually distributed really far and wide. I have some connections with the Vermont State Regional Planning Commissions, the Vermont League of Cities and Towns, plus health coalitions. So this is really distributed to a broad population throughout the state. Great acclaim. People really like it. The next thing we did, The next thing that we did was do some training, because again, one of our goals was to increase knowledge, skills, and abilities, and just the competence of our health folks and our planning people to sort of understand why health professionals were going to be going to them around some of these issues in their towns. So we ended up offering 3 in-person trainings around the state and 1 webinar where we really went through the things in the design in the book. We gave the overview of healthy community design there. And then when we did the presentation on each of the 4 different areas, we had experts come in to talk about those. So for the concentrated mixed-use development presentation, we actually had a planner from that area where the presentation was happening to talk about concentrated mixed-use development and how it works in Vermont towns and who to talk to. For the bicycle and pedestrian-friendly piece, we had the Vermont bike and pedestrian planner coordinator from the Department of Transportation come to all of those trainings. For open space, recreation, and parks, I think I did that one. And then for healthy foods, we had somebody from the Department of Agriculture come and talk about farmland and farmers markets and community gardens and things like that. So it's just really nice to have those experts from the state come in and be able to talk to folks about what the opportunities were and what these things really meant in terms of the state focus. The other thing that we really focused on in these trainings were like the how-tos, because we really wanted to get people comfortable. So we really talked to community coalition members and health professionals about things that you wouldn't think that people need training on, but like show up, go to meetings in your town, go to a select board meeting, go to a rec board meeting if you have a rec board, just have a presence there, ask questions. So some really basic things, like, you know, if somebody's saying we're gonna change some development or repave a road, to ask a question about what will the health impact be, or is there an opportunity to stripe the road when we repave the road? So giving people some of those really basic skills, folks who feel really uncomfortable or not quite knowledgeable about this area, which I mean, admit I don't either. So you know, it's like helpful for me to think about, yeah, you know, I could just go to these meetings and I could just listen, have a presence. The other thing that we've really recommended, which a lot of folks have done, is to talk about what you can offer. So, you know, these are small towns with really limited resources. We have a lot of people who do multiple jobs and multiple roles in within towns. So they're often really happy to have somebody from the outside come in and say, you know, you need some research done, I can do that. You need some data, I can do that. So what I have found is that a lot of the coalition members and health folks have been really welcome to some of these communities just to offer resources and be somebody else who's interested in these issues. One of the things that's been really popular in the toolkit has been this resource section where we actually have a list of who's who in local government. I talked about that, but there's potential partners. So looking at our four different areas and giving people a list of people within a town who you might want to actually approach and talk to. We also created a several-page document that gives health language for town plans for the different elements. So how do you work in stuff around how to increase physical activity is that top corner, that top right corner there, in the energy plan, because town plans have like eight different elements. So if you have this energy element, where can you fit in language around physical activity to support that? For economic development, for housing, so for all these different pieces that a town plan has to have, how can they start working in health language? This has been a really popular document. A lot of towns have really taken this on and have adopted it actually quicker than I think anybody expected. A lot of coalitions say, oh, you're reviewing your town plan, here's something. And they're like, great, we'll just put it in. So it's been kind of nice. Okay, so partnership building. I just used this slide to show that for this kind of work, you really need to create unique partners, find unique partners. Look at people who are interested in environmental issues and climate change issues. One of the things we talked about in our trainings was figure out where the energy in the town is. Like, what are people concerned about? What are people interested about? Don't start off with the obesity or the health perspective if that's not where your town is, but they might be working on some other initiatives or other projects where those kinds of things will be the results. So improvements that will increase bikeability, that will increase the safety of a park. So the next piece I want to talk about was community support, which is really the health department giving grants to community coalitions around the state. Our funding is from community transformation grant, public health infrastructure money, and some state funding. This is the map of Vermont and the locations where we've given out funding, again, mostly the rural areas of the state. And they're actually not big grants. They are grants from $10,000 to $40,000. It's about $10,000 per program area that folks are working on, and it really pays for a staff person's time to do some of this community organizing, showing up at meetings, offering resources. They need to work on one of those four areas or all four of those areas, whatever they choose to do. And in the first year, we ask them to conduct community assessments and develop some recommendations and then work with the town and their partners to implement those recommendations. So after the first year, this is where things are at that I have that I could quantify at this point, where it shows the four different areas that we've asked folks to work on, how many coalitions are working on those different things, the number of towns where those are being where those are starting to happen, and how many Vermonters are being impacted if when and if those things go into place. So things like, you know, increasing bicycle and pedestrian access. Happening in 15 towns, and we took basically looked at the towns and looked at the census information for those towns and added it up. That's how we got the potential reach for those. I wanted to give just a few examples of some of the projects that have gone on around the state. So again, this population, Fairfield, Vermont, which is sort of in a northern central section of the town, really small population of not even 2,000 people. One of their projects is making improvements to their REC trail. It was improved to include trail and mile markers, and a map of the trail was created and distributed community-wide to get people to use it. We have a few areas where trails just seem unsafe to people. They're kind of dark, they're not used very well, people just don't quite know where they go or how to use them. So our coalitions are doing a lot of, this is what this trail is, this is how it should be used or could be used. A lot of connecting trail networks. So there's trails here and here and here, and there's really no connectivity. So working on projects like that for trails. Newport, Vermont is one of our towns with a population of 4,530 people. And I just love this project because the city purchased and installed 10 bike racks in locations around the city. The interesting thing to me about this project is that it was actually a private-public partnership where the coalition worked with economic development, and they actually got the businesses in the area to buy the bike racks and install them around the city because they have a whole thing around really building up tourism and tourism around visitors coming to the city and being more active. So businesses in the town really saw this as an opportunity to promote their businesses. So there's 10 that were that have been installed in this past year, and the goal is to have 50 bike racks installed in the next few years, again, having businesses purchase those. Bennington, Vermont is a town in southern Vermont with 15,000, so a little bit bigger town. Mark Fenton was actually there just recently, just last week, working on a project with them. Again, another, to me, exciting project where there's a low-income housing development. There's actually two low-income housing developments. Our health coalition started working with the regional planning coalition down there and identified this as a potential project to look at making improvements and installing a real path there, a paved path, which would actually allow children to walk to a school and families to walk to some businesses, some local businesses in the area. So going from a really unsafe, questionable path to something that they think is going to really impact a large number for Vermont low-income folks to really have access to schools and businesses. As far as evaluation goes for us, really what we do right now is we have really narrowed the list of strategies and interventions people can do. We give it to them, so this is what that we're asking for, and then we're trying to look for some kind of consistency around the state. Our coalitions report to me quarterly on what they're working on, and so that's how I can kind of count what they're working on in which towns. In terms of looking at changes in behavior, are people more physically active? Are people eating healthier? We're really looking at that more in terms of the bigger picture, BRFSS, statewide data over time, but we're really focused more on our policies being implemented, our changes happening in the communities, and how many of those changes are happening. So just reviewing quickly about the last things about how we're doing this, and what we're advising people to do is, again, really assessing the current climate. Where is the energy in the town? We're really clear with people, don't start with health or obesity. You've mentioned the word obesity, and then people immediately go to, people just need to lose weight. Those people need to lose weight, and then that just kind of ends your day, that day. just ask questions, you know. How is this happening? Why and when? Have a presence. Attend meetings. And assist with any kind of resources. And, you know, certainly in small rural communities, that's often really welcome. And that's it.
So what we can do is we can take the last few minutes for any questions for our final speakers, Susan and Kelly, or any of the other speakers as well. I know a few of them we didn't have time for questions, so.
I have a quick question on trail connectivity.
Yeah.
With the town too, we're trying to link together. I work in rural Maine.
Yeah.
The same thing. Was there a town buy-in, or was it all through your grant money that you were able to build trails, or were they actually trails where you just kind of connected them to like bike lanes or town?
There's a town in southern Vermont that is, I think it's Brattleboro, that is actually working on that particular project, and they did a community assessment to sort of figure out what some of the needs and, again, where the energy in the town was. There's a strong trails committee, but I think they sort of are working on different parts of the trail issues. So they have gathered partners together to start looking at how can we connect these. And for me, I really was clear with them that it needs to be something that's going to impact the lower income population. So how are these trails someplace where lower income people can get to? Do they have access to them? And will they use them? And how will they use them? And I'm being assured that this trail sort of will lead into towns, and there'll be good markers and ways for them to be assessed. So they're still in the process of developing it, but I can give you contact information.
And all of the partners, okay,
Yeah. They a few ways. One is that we're actually not paying for the trails, so we don't have enough money for infrastructure projects. What we have money for is for the community organizing and the identification of where the energy should be going. So what I'm actually evaluating is whether or not they're doing an environmental or policy level change. And as I was just saying, that if they come back with, we're going to work on this trail in this town and make improvements to it, that needs to be based on a community assessment that says people are interested in it, that people will use it, that there's a need for it, and that they can give me some kind of evidence that it's going to be connecting to a low-income population or other projects that are going on in that area that will also support those efforts. It's true, people might not use them, but that's as much as we can do right now. We're changing the environment, as the evidence says, will help increase access to physical activity, and over time we are making the assumption that that will be true, that people will use those.
I just want to add a comment, if I can, to your point about the meeting with obesity, because I found that in the coalition that I was working with, that they had a lot of data around what's called common ground, so they had a lot of people coming with no interest in obesity, but they liked the idea of what the project was that they were working on. So they had, for instance, one community was working on getting more access to parks, and they had a lot of people come because they were interested in sustainability and green, and they really, weren't into, it's not, I'm trying not to follow, but these everyone wants to use parks. I'm concerned that kids are getting socially isolated. I want them to come together. So I think that's a really important point to, you could rally around behind the outcome, but the initiative is what gets a lot of people excited.
Yeah. You know, our coalitions have worked a long time on tobacco and alcohol abuse prevention. And my sense is that when you go to a town around those issues, you're talking about what's perceived as taking something away from people. And what they're finding, I think, when people are going around, that's decreased access to healthy food. That's fix a park. Towns really are okay with that. Like, they get it. Like, that's a good positive thing. So I think the coalitions, to some extent, are like, this is actually kind of easy compared to what we used to do.
One last comment in the back.
Yeah, just wanted to add a comment and thank you for the presentation for bringing that. So sort of to this last point, some of the work that I've done on coalitions has shown that a concept that we measure, which is called strategic alignment, which simply meant that the interests of a partner or partner organization were in line with the goals of the coalition, were one of the strongest predictors of coalition success. So there's a pretty emerging empirical evidence.
Okay, so before we all leave, I want to announce that we are going to have another physical activity section sponsoring at the next session in this room at 2:30. And that one follows up, I think, really nicely from the work that we've heard today on community coalitions. It's focusing on policies, plans, and evaluations, specifically in the area of active transportation. So if you're interested in active transportation, biking, walking, come back here at 2:30. And let's give all of our panelists one more hand. Thank you.